Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, participants' lines are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question and answer session, press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Mr. David Long. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Marcia, and welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Application Server Integration Bus and Stuck Messages. This session is scheduled to be an hour in length, but might extend to an hour and a half for the presentation and the Q&A period. If you have not yet joined the web conference, please do so now. The web conference address is available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange website. Today's webcast will include an online presentation, and once you are in the web conference, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the web conference at this time, please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange website and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain a PDF file of the presentation. You can also obtain a copy of the PDF file by visiting the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange program on Twitter at www.twitter.com/IBMWSTE. This call is being recorded, so you can replay it at your convenience. In the next day or two, the MP3 file, along with the presentation, will be available on the previous webcast tab of the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a question and answer period. For those of you who join us via the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the phone, and if time permits, we will also address questions in the group chat. Today's presenters are Ty Schrake and Paul O'Donnell. Ty has been with IBM for nearly 18 years and has been a Level 2 engineer with the Service Integration Bus component for the last 8 years. Paul has been with IBM for 12 years and has been a Level 2 engineer with the Service Integration Bus component for the last 2 years. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Paul.
Hi, this is Paul O'Donnell. Ty and I would like to welcome everyone who has joined us today. We hope that we'll be able to explain understanding stuck messages in a way that will make your WebSphere experience even better. So let's begin. Slide 2, please. In order to clearly explain the subject of this presentation, we need to cover some basics first. I will cover the basics, and Ty will take over when we get to identifying the problem. Slide 3, please.
Paul, this is it's advancing very slowly. I don't know what the problem is.
Okay.
Just bear with me.
Oh, just slow down.
Okay, well, hang on a minute. Went too far. Hang on. Stand by one moment, please. I apologize.
If you can get us to slide 4, we can just start there.
We'll skip
slide 3.
Okay, here's slide 4. Hopefully it's going to work now.
All right, we'll just stay there, and I'll cover slide 3 and slide 4 here.
Okay.
In today's presentation, we're going to explain why messages become stuck on a destination or queue, and what can be done about them. And we'll use the terms destination and queue interchangeably. And on slide 4. Okay, here we have a typical, though basic, message flow pattern. A JMS producer that sends messages to a destination and a message-driven bean, or MDB as it is commonly called, which consumes those messages once they are committed. We will go into more detail on the MDB and in the upcoming slides. Slide 5, please. Message producers and consumers. Messages are created in producer applications and then put on a destination. Consumer applications read and remove messages from destinations and deliver them to other applications. Most problems with messages involve consumer applications. Therefore, that is where the investigation begins when messages are stuck. With WebSphere Application Server, almost all consumers are message-driven beans. Slide 6, please. Okay, message-driven bean basics. When investigating messages that are stuck on a queue or are accumulating on a queue, it helps a great deal if you understand what message-driven beans are and how they work. There are three types of enterprise Java beans: session beans, entity beans, and message-driven beans. An MDB is usually a small application whose only purpose is to receive messages from a messaging system and pass them on to another application. We often refer to the MDB as the consumer, but the actual consumption of messages is handled at a lower level. More on that in upcoming slides. Slide 7, please. In addition, MDBs do not need any connection code to consume messages. All MDBs have a method named onMessage, and MDBs run inside an EJB container. Slide 8, please. MDB transactionality. Every MDB has a deployment descriptor, which holds information about how the bean behaves and what resources it will use. One item it holds is the transactionality of the bean. There are two options. First, container managed. This means that each message consumed by the MDB will be part of a transaction created and managed by the EJB container. This is the best option to use. The second option is component or bean managed. This means that the MDB itself is responsible for any transactions and must contain the code to handle those transactions. This option should generally be avoided. The state of a message on a destination is often determined by which option is chosen. Slide 9, please. How message-driven beans work. When we talk about message-driven beans, we often say that they consume messages. This is true, but the situation is a bit more complex than this. When discussing MDB message consumption, we must break the process down into three parts: the destination, the resource adapter, and the MDB. MDBs do not have any connection code in them the way normal standalone JMS applications do. Instead, a resource adapter connects to a destination on behalf of the MDB. The resource adapter listens on the queue for messages, and when a message arrives, it passes it to the MDB. When a message arrives on a destination, the resource adapter gets a copy of the message from the destination and then calls the onMessage method of the MDB. The onMessage method takes a message object as an argument. In other words, the resource adapter delivers the message to the MDB. So when we talk about MDB message consumption, what we are really talking about is message delivery to an MDB. Once the MDB has the message, it usually extracts the data, and then passes the data to another bean for processing. Slide 10, please. Resource adapters. Here we have a slightly more detailed view of how a resource adapter works. When the resource adapter starts, it reads the information from the activation spec and uses that to connect to the destination. It then waits for a message. When the message arrives, it removes it from the destination and calls the onMessage method of the MDB and passes the message as an argument. Note that the activation spec is stored in JNDI and that it is nothing more than information used by the resource adapter. It is not executable. Some mistakenly believe that it is the activation spec that connects to the destination. But the activation spec is only a configuration object, like an .ini file, that configures the resource adapter to connect to the destination. There are several resource adapters in WAS, but in this case we are talking about the SIB resource adapter. Slide 11, please. Inside onMessage. MDBs which consume messages have at least the onMessage method. They may have other methods, but that is beyond the scope of this presentation. Slide 12, please. It is crucial to understand that once the code inside of an onMessage is executing, the thread the MDB is running on is owned by that code. We are outside of SIB code at this point. When the message data is passed from the MDB to a database or another EJB or anything else, all of that code must successfully complete and return. Slide 13, please. Message accumulation. What if the messages start to pile up on the queue? This is often the first sign that something is not right. There are two possible reasons for message accumulation. One, messages are being put on the queue faster than they are being consumed. And two, the MDB has stopped processing messages. Ty will now discuss how to identify the problem.
Thanks, Paul. This is Ty. Slide 14, please. Okay, we're going to talk from this point forward about how to identify the problem and a few things you can do to try to sort the problem out. But the first thing you need to know is how to actually identify that there is a problem. And the first step in doing that is going into the WAS admin console and navigating to this general point in the admin console. The names here will be different depending on your particular configuration. But when you want to look for messages that are stuck on a queue, this is where you navigate to. Slide 15, please. Okay, once you navigate to that point in the admin console, you're going to see a list of messages on the destination that you're interested in. And the things you're going to be looking for to identify whether messages are stuck are the state and the transaction ID columns. Each line here, each row, is a message, an individual message, and each individual message gets a unique system ID. And next to that, you'll see the state and the transaction ID if there is a transaction ID. In this case, the state is available with no transaction ID. That means that those messages are available to be consumed or delivered to the MDB. Slide 16, please. Okay, before we go on, I want to point something out here because it's going to come up later on in the presentation. One thing we see frequently is slow message consumption. And this is usually caused by the behavior of the MDB itself, and stuck messages themselves are generally caused by bad MDB behavior. But one thing you can do is go into the admin console and change the maximum concurrent MDB invocations per endpoint. What that does is that changes the number of MDB instances that are consuming messages. The default is 10, but you can actually increase this number pretty significantly depending on your resource availability, and this will significantly increase the rate at which messages are consumed from the destination. I recently had a customer who was experiencing a pretty good rate of message consumption, but he wanted more, so we increased this significantly, and he achieved a satisfactory result. He increased his message consumption rate by about, I think it was 60%. So it worked out quite well. So this is a very valuable and important tuning parameter that you should be aware of. Slide 17, please. Okay, now we're going to get into situations that customers call in about. In this case, we have a message the state is removing and there's a transaction ID. And what this means is that the message is currently being removed from the destination under a transaction that hasn't completed. And this often indicates a problem with the MDB. The key thing to understand here is that when you're looking for messages that are that you suspect may be stuck on a queue, what you typically will look for is a message in this or a similar state that's there for a long period of time, or even if it's just 5 or 10 seconds, which is an eternity in terms of message delivery rates. So when you see, if you see messages that are in a particular state and you see a particular message, and you can use the system message ID to identify the exact message. If you see a message there that's in anything other than an available state and it's in that state for a long time, that means that message consumption is not occurring the way it should. Slide 18, please. Okay, here's another example. This one shows a message in a locked state with no transaction ID. And here again, if this message stays in this state for a long period of time, the MDB is most likely the cause. It certainly should be looked at. Slide 19, please. Okay, so now we've just looked at where you look at in the admin console to find stuck messages and a couple of things that you look for or the type of behavior that you're looking for. Most of the rest of this presentation covers the scenarios you see listed here on slide 19. Two different available situations, two different removing states, three locked states, and then an unlocked state. We won't go through each and every one of these in detail because they're very redundant, but there are a few things along the way I want to point out. Slide 20, please. Okay, resolving the problem. In each one of these scenarios that you just saw listed, we're going to label the scenario, interpret it, and then list the possible solutions or actions that can be taken to get at a solution. If messages are available but moving slowly, that means that they're consumed by the MDB but at a slow rate. Possible solutions, you might want to increase the maximum MDB concurrency that we just looked at. You also may want to check MDB performance by adding timestamps to the MDB source code or gather three Java cores at about 30-second intervals to see where the MDB is spending time. Remember, going back to the slides that Paul showed you, when the message is passed to the MDB, we are now inside the onMessage method. And in order for the next message to be delivered, that onMessage call has to return. And if it's taking a long time, these two steps, increasing concurrency and maybe taking Java cores or adding timestamps to the code, will tell you a lot more about where the time is being spent inside onMessage. That's really crucial to understand. Slide 21, please. In this scenario, messages are available and not moving. And the interpretation for that is the MDB may not be started. Now, you can manually start and stop an MDB in the admin console, so make sure it's started. You can also manually stop and restart your MDB. If your MDB is hung for some reason or unresponsive, sometimes stopping it and restarting it will fix the problem. And you don't have to stop and restart your whole server, the messaging engines, or anything like that. Just focus on the application. Keep this as atomic and focused as possible. If that doesn't work, then it's time to take Java course. And we'll touch on Java course in a little more detail later on. Slide 22, please. Okay, now we're going to get into some scenarios that are fairly common. We don't cover every possible scenario. That would take a very long time. But this one and a few others are fairly common, so we'll look at these. In this case, messages are in a removing state with no transaction ID but moving slowly. This means that messages are being consumed but at a slow rate. And here again, the possible solutions are the same as before. Increase concurrency, stop and restart the MDB, see if any of that helps. And if it doesn't, then it's time to take Java course and check what the MDB is doing. Slide 23, please. And here it's roughly the same scenario, removing with a transaction ID, but in this case, not moving. We see this fairly often. Messages are being consumed by the MDB, but at a slow rate, or maybe it's stopped. Sometimes slow rate means very long periods of time before it gets to the next one. And here, the possible solutions are the same, but there is one additional thing you can do, is that's check the state of the transaction and try to manually complete the transaction. When you look at the message in the admin console, if it has a transaction ID, it is possible to try to manually resolve that transaction. And if you navigate in the admin console, according to what we have at the bottom of this slide, you'll see an option to either commit or back out the transaction. I don't think I've ever seen a commit work because usually the MDB is in a state that it can't. But I have seen backouts work. Now, that doesn't mean that's going to solve the problem. The MDB should still be looked at, but it's an option for you to at least get out of the transaction. Slide 24, please. To list the resources used by a transaction, you have to click on the transaction local ID that's in the list that's displayed that you'll get to based on that previous slide. And here again, there are various options you can select to try to get out of the situation, but again, rollbacks are usually the best option. If that doesn't work, then again, you'll go back to taking Java course. Slide 25, please. Okay, messages locked with no transaction ID but moving slowly. We see this fairly often, and that means that they are being consumed but at a slow rate. And here again, the same basic procedures apply. Increase the concurrency, manually stop and restart the MDB, and if that doesn't work, it's time to take Java course. Slide 26, please. Locked with no transaction ID but not moving. Okay, this is a unique situation, so we'll look at the interpretation here. In this case, the message has been passed to a consumer, and that consumer has not yet completed. That means the MDB is basically stuck in its code somewhere. Or the message has been passed to a consumer, and that consumer has completed, but we haven't tried to remove the message yet from the destination. That's very rare, and if you're at the latest fixed pack levels or close to that, you should pretty much never see that problem. Thirdly, the message has been passed over the network to a client application preemptively, and the client has not yet consumed it. There again, that's extremely rare. I listed it here because it's a possibility, but unlikely that you'll see that. Possible solutions, here again, same basic procedure. Increase the concurrency, stop and restart the MDB, and if that doesn't work, gather Java course. Slide 27, please. Okay, same basic situation, just a small permutation on the previous one. In this case, you have a locked state with a transaction ID. An application has consumed the message with a transaction and is performing some processing that's taking a long time. In other words, the MDB is taking a long time to process messages. The second possibility for this situation is that the transaction has become in doubt. In other words, one of the resource managers failed during the prepare phase or between prepare and commit. And the transaction manager has not been able to contact the messaging engine to tell it whether to commit or roll back the transaction. If that's the situation, the only thing you can really do is take Java course to see where in the code it is. You might be able to roll back the transaction using the admin console that I showed you a few minutes ago, but that's not likely to succeed. So in this situation, things like tracing and additional analysis would be required. Slide 28, please. Okay, messages are in an unlocked state with no transaction ID but not moving. This is a unique situation. I worked with a customer recently who had this very situation, and the interpretation is that no thread is listening for messages on this destination. And what that implies is that the resource adapter is not running. A second possibility is that the match criteria of all consumers for this destination do not match the message. In other words, it's possible to consume a message using certain criteria. In other words, out of all of the messages on the queue or destination, you want a particular message that matches a certain criteria, for example, a certain value in a certain field in the header. If there are no messages that match that, you could see this state. Another possibility is all consumers for this destination are pointing at a different partition of the destination in a workload managed environment. That's a theoretical possibility, but it almost never happens. Lastly, all consumers are maxed out processing messages and can't accept new ones. This would normally happen when you have a mix of locked and unlocked messages. That also is extremely rare. You're not likely to see it. Slide 29, please. Possible solutions. Make sure the activation for the activation specification for the MDB is configured correctly, because that's what configures the resource adapter. Here again, increase the MDB concurrency, manually stop and restart the MDB, and again, if those don't work, start taking Java cores. Slide 30, please. Okay, Java cores. I'll just go ahead and read this for those of you who may not be too familiar with them. In situations where messages are not consumed from a destination, customers often describe them as being stuck on the queue. It's usually a good idea to gather Java cores. Java cores are a snapshot of the Java virtual machine that show what each thread in the JVM is doing. For stuck messages, Java cores should be gathered against the JVM running the MDB. A sequence of three Java cores about 1 minute apart should be gathered. The detailed addendum includes links to how to gather Java cores on all of the major distributed non-ZOS platforms. The addendum also includes an actual Java core example that shows an MDB that is stuck in its onMessage method. A detailed explanation of how to read the Java core is included. So in addition to this presentation, we have also included a more detailed presentation that covers Java cores and some other things in more details. It shows you how to take a Java core, what tool to use to read it, and how to interpret a Java core. And basically, a Java core is a thread stack, a call stack. And it shows you how to read it, and it provides a sample call stack of an MDB that is stuck in its onMessage method, and it shows you how to read that call stack. In general, you start from the bottom and read to the top. But it's a perfect example. It's a textbook case of a message-driven bean that is stuck, and as a result, messages accumulate on a queue. This is a very, very common scenario. We see this many, many times, at least once a week, probably three or four times a week. And so if you can read a Java core, if you can read that call stack, that will tell you a huge amount about where the MDB is stuck. Now, I would like to point out that when an MDB is not consuming messages, it's important to understand that the onMessage method is the method that we use to pass the message to the bean. Now, some MDBs just do a little bit of processing on the message, and then they pass it off to another EJB. Some MDBs have a whole bunch of code in their onMessage method. But in any case, what I'm driving at here is it's not always the MDB itself that's the problem. If the MDB consumes a message and then passes the message data to some other EJB, that EJB may be doing something like connecting to a database or some other resource, and maybe there's a problem with the database or that other resource, and that's why the onMessage method is not returning. I've seen that quite a few times. And the Java core is what will tell you if that's what's going on. So the Java core is extremely useful in telling you where in the code chain the problem is. And the idea is when you take three Java cores, or even just two, you will see the same piece of code, the same MDB, the same thread, stuck in exactly the same spot across all three Java cores. So the Java cores are very, very useful. I probably take Java cores on almost every message accumulation PMR that I run into. Slide 31, please. Message states. We've already reviewed the most common states that you may encounter and a little bit about what to do about each one. It's difficult to get into more detail for each of those states because customer configurations vary drastically, but those are definitely the starting points. A complete list of all possible message states and what they mean is available in the detailed addendum that will be up on the website. Slide 32, please. Okay, summary. This presentation is designed to help you understand and investigate why messages are stuck or accumulating on a destination. The basic understanding of how MDB's work was presented, including an overview of on-message method and the importance of understanding what on-message does. This was followed by a discussion of message states and how to interpret them. And lastly, Java cores and their importance was discussed, including an example that shows a typical hung MDB scenario and how to interpret the call stack. That's, again, that's included in the addendum. It takes a little time to go through it, but it's well worth it. I highly recommend it. And it's hoped that this presentation will help you deal with stuck messages in the future. Slide 33, please. These are additional WebSphere product resources. Most of you are probably already familiar with these. Slide 34, please.
Okay.
David? Yes? Back to you, David.
Yes. Thank you, Paul and Ty, for a great presentation.
Sure.
Before we move to the question and answer session, we would like to conduct a short poll. Four questions will appear in the web conference, and your responses are greatly appreciated. The first question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The information presented today was useful to me. Strongly agree, agree, neutral, disagree, or strongly disagree. I'll pause a few seconds here to collect your responses. Thank you. Moving on to the second question. On a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Thank you. And the third question is, did this call meet your training expectations, yes or no? Thank you. And the last question that we would like to ask today, how did you hear about today's WSTE webcast? Thank you for your participation in that poll. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We do welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. Moving on to the Q&A session, I would like to remind you that for those of you who joined us via the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the phone, and if time permits, we will also address questions in the group chat. At this time, Marcia, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will begin question and answer session. Please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute the line and record your first and last name when prompted. To withdraw the question, press star 2. Once again, please press star 1 on the touch-tone phone. One moment, please. I do have one question on the phone, a couple questions now forming. Suresh Kumar, your line is open.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Hey, thank you for the session. Quick question on the concurrent invocations. So when we consider increasing the concurrent invocations from the default size, so what are the other system resources that needs to be taken into consideration?
Well, a couple of things. By increasing it, you're going to increase the number of bean instances. So if you increased it, for example, from 10 to 20, you would double the number of MDBs in theory. The EJB container has an algorithm that determines exactly how many MDB instances will be needed. So even if you have it set to 10, there may not actually be 10 running. But if you increased it, depending on the size of your bean, it is going to determine in part how much extra resources. Beans generally are very small, so that by itself may not be a problem. However, if your MDB makes calls to other EJBs, you're going to have connection resources that are started. You're going to have other EJB instances that are started. So you need to be a little bit careful. There's no exact way to determine exactly how much extra resources. In general, I recommend incrementally increasing the value by 25 to 50% at a time. And as long as your heap stays within a reasonable amount of free heap, you should be okay. And you should see an increase in message consumption rates as well.
And what about the thread pool? So should we consider increasing the thread pool as well?
Yes, the thread pool setting, I'm glad you mentioned that, should always be greater than the actual concurrency setting. It is by default anyways, but if you're going to be increasing concurrency significantly, say 40 or 50, in that case you want to increase the threads, yes.
So would that be the default thread pool or the web container thread pool?
That would be the, well, in version 7 and higher of WAS, it would be the SIBRA thread pool.
Okay. How about on the 6.1?
In 6.1, it would be the default.
Default. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can I add one more question?
Sure.
So in my environment, right, so we are on a WSBI environment. So basically we get, a lot of queues getting recreated with each deployment. So I have, multiple services, 100-plus services. So whenever I start deploying all these ERs, so all the queues on the SIB, they get, deleted and recreated.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, we want all the messages on those queues to be non-persistent. But because of, some reason, way how the mediations are written in the wait, so what happens is, so sometimes the messages end up to be, persistent on the queues. Because I can't go back on, each queue and, kind of disable the override, the flag you have, the message override flag. So is there any easy way where, I can just, set like one parameter so that all the messages on the queues are best effort non-persistent, no matter whether the application requires or not?
Yeah, that's a good question. Unfortunately, I don't think that there is a global setting for message persistence. It's on a per-destination basis. So I don't see a simple solution to that problem. You're going to have to check the destinations and make sure they're set to non-persistent. Or you could write a script that says go through each destination and set the persistence to whatever value you want, whatever quality of service level you want, and do that. But there's not a global setting for that.
So not even at the connection factory level, so you don't have any type of setting with that?
That would be the closest thing to a global setting.
Okay, so would that override the persistence on the messages, or would we still have to go back on each of the queue and do that change?
Well, there's an option to either allow the override or not allow the override, so you'd have to check that. This is something I'd have to investigate, because there's different areas where you can change persistence levels, and the priorities depend on what you have set at each one of those parts of the configuration. But in general, a connection factory would be the closest thing to a global setting, but it's still not global.
Okay. And one more question, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
My message store is a database, so basically the message engine is connected to the database. So there's something like a message spillover, right? For a best effort non-persistent messages, because all of them are maintained in the heap, so there's something called a message spillover. So when the message store is a database, so how does the message spillover work? So does it write to the database when, there is not enough heap to store the messages?
Well, if you have a large number of non-persistent messages stored in memory, in other words, they're on the queue, the messaging engine will decide at a certain point to try to reclaim memory by writing those to the SIB002 table. But that's entirely up to the messaging engine, and it's not very common that that happens, but that's the one situation in which non-persistent messages would actually be written to the data store.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
We do have 5 questions now in queue. Pradeep Singar, your line is open. One moment.
Not have any question. Thank you.
Okay. Lori Lavallee, your line is open.
Yeah, my question is, I know you mentioned getting the Java core dumps for all with the ZOS operating system. Do you also have instructions that we can use for the ZOS?
Hi, Laura. They're not included in the addendum, but I can check it out and add it to the addendum. I'd be happy to do that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Any other questions?
Yes. Chakri, your line is open.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Two questions in this regard. First thing is, we are using BPM product, and during the installation out-of-the-box applications itself, it creates so many internal queues and basically it creates different sets of buses and different sets of messaging engines, and each one has so many queues. Recently, there's a issue or incident that finally the problem is one of that it's a queue name called BPM hold queue is having so many of those messages, and we did not realize it, like how many messages are stuck there. So my question is it possible to monitor this queue? Say for example, if the depth is more than 50 or so, just alert us in certain way. So we are not able to get to the point until the end user complains that there's some issues going on in the system.
Right. Good question. couple of things about that. There's different ways to monitor queues. I think that the PMI tool inside of WAS will monitor queue depth for you. I don't know if the tool will then send an alert if some threshold is met.
Okay.
But I would definitely look into that. If you need to open a PMR, we'll look into it. Another way you can do it is we have scripts that will return the depth of each queue, and you could use that to, you know, check the queues periodically if you cron it, for example, and then use that to see if there's message accumulation.
Sure, definitely. As I'm talking to you right now, I was checking the depth of one of the queues in stage, which is 17,000, and we didn't even get a complaint so far on that. So 17,000 messages in one of those BPE queues is definitely a bad sign right now, because I'm checking while I was on the call. So we did all of the investigation from our end, but I didn't find any help from IBM so far. If you can send us the scripts to do it, we can automate it around this issue.
Yeah, if you can open a PMR and request that, we'll be happy to do that.
Okay.
As far as the 17,000 messages go, one of the first things I would do is look into increasing the MDB concurrency that we talked about in the presentation.
Okay. Can I do it? Okay. I don't know. Who is this? Because this app is like this out-of-the-box app as we install the BPM product. So I don't know which app is even listening to this guy. I had to go and check that. Okay. I'll do my little research there. And a second question, and first thing is, how to get that script? Is it if I open a PMR, do I get a script, or do I have to mention something else?
No, just open a PMR stating that you need a script to monitor queue depth.
Okay.
And we'll send it right out to you.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
One other question on the front is, I was a little confused with the terminology of SIP, destination, queue point, and messaging point, all these different words used for the queues within the SIP technology, SIP infrastructure. What are those different things?
Okay, you're correct. It is confusing. And part of that is because of the J2E spec. But in general, here's the difference. Technically, a queue is an object stored in JNDI. It's a definition. It's not a place where you store messages. The place where you store messages is a destination, okay? You can think of the queue configures the destination, if you will.
Okay.
And the destination is the place where messages are actually sent to, at least from an application perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The message point is the actual piece of memory that holds the messages.
Okay.
So there's a very fine, small, tiny difference between a destination and a message point. I think of them as the same thing. Customers, however, use the terms destination and queue interchangeably all the time. So that's fine as long as the difference between them isn't an issue.
So the queue point is also a memory thing, queue point and message point?
Yeah. I think of them as the same thing.
Queue point, okay.
Yeah, but you're right. It's a little confusing.
On final note, is there a picture that really helps us? I think we scribble down the picture and try to understand going through this document, but is there a good picture of a SIB? Messaging engines and these queue points that can help us to have a better understanding. It's instead of going through all this mess.
There probably is in previous documentation. I created a very lengthy message-driven Beam technology presentation that I haven't delivered to anybody yet. Mm-hmm. that has some stuff like that in it.
Okay.
So if you open a PMR asking for that kind of thing, I think we can help you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, sir.
Sure.
Mahesh, your line is open.
Hi, thanks for opening the line. I'm moreover looking for maximum concurrent MDB invocation per endpoint setting, and where we can set the setting in Vesper level. And we know default is turned. Can I set it like 100?
Well, the actual setting itself is part of the activation specification configuration.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you would actually make the change. As far as increasing it to 100, if you have sufficient resources, in other words, you're not maxing out your heap, that in particular is the most important thing, You could try that, but again, I would caution against going from 10 to 100. If you are have messages accumulating on destinations, if they're accumulating very rapidly, then you may want to make a significant increase in that value. But if it's a slow accumulation, then I would consider going from 10 to, say, 15 or 20 mm-hmm. and see how that is. In other words, I would not go from 10 to 100. I would try some values in between that first.
Okay. I observed my environment, but I didn't find this maximum concurrent MDB invocation per endpoint parameter in JMS activation specification layer. So do you want me to create a new parameter on this to keep 10 and 20 and 30 like that for testing?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand your question. Can you repeat that, please?
I didn't find maximum concurrent MDB invocation per endpoint custom parameter in JMS activation specs in my environment. So do you want me to create a separate?
It sounds like you're using a different resource adapter.
Because we are using 6.1 version VAS.
Oh, okay. I would have to check to see if that option is available in 6.1. I think it is. You might want to open a PMR on that so we can investigate that.
Okay.
But it's not a custom parameter. It should be right there in the configuration panel, pretty easy to see. So I would open a PMR on that. We'll look into it.
Well, coming to scripts, I have one question. Like, I used to create a PMR for scripts, but they're asking, like, engage IBM services team to provide scripts. So if they engage, IBM services team, then we need to pay the amount, right? So is there a way to download the scripts from IBM site?
Not that I'm aware of. We do have a few scripts that we can send to you directly from Level 2 for things like monitoring queue depth, deleting queues, things like that, very simple things. There are things that you can do in the admin console. It's just a little faster with a script. But if you want like custom scripting, that would be something outside the scope of Level 2, and in that case, they would charge you for it. Okay, any other questions?
Oscar, your line is open.
Hi, thank you, TY and Paul, for the excellent presentation.
Sure.
The question I have is, when the onMessage method passes the call to the EJB, would each of those calls be on separate threads?
That's up to the MDB. Normally not. Normally they're all on the same thread, at least in my experience. And you can see that in the call stack when you take a Java core. I mean, I've seen call stacks where the MDB takes the message and then passes it to another EJB, which then passes it to another EJB, which then reaches out to a database and so on. And you see all of this on the same thread.
Mm-hmm.
But if...
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Well, if the developer wanted to create another thread, they could do that, but it would make it a lot harder to sort problems out.
Okay. The concern I had was if all of this is happening on a single thread, how would it handle multiple parallel processing of these messages?
Well, each MDB instance would get its own thread.
Okay. So at that level, it's tied to each individual message?
Right, exactly.
Got it, thank you. The other question I have is, I'm fairly new to the queue implementations. So at in production, we have seen issues where customers come and tell that the messages they have sent are either not processed or they are lost in the process. So is there a way to find out whether the message has actually reached us? And if so, how can we do that?
Well, that's a little bit vague. I mean, it's kind of a general question. Without knowing more about the configuration, it's a little difficult to answer that.
The PMR would help?
Yeah. One of the things I would consider, because I've done this myself to verify that messages are being delivered, is I put a piece of code in my MDB that I put together a while back that prints out the message ID of the message that's consumed and processed.
Okay.
So that way, if there's some question about some message that might be missing or nobody is sure what happened to it, I can look at that log file for the MDB. It creates a separate log file and just records a little bit of information about each message, so I know exactly what message was processed and when it was processed.
So is there a way to tie in that information to the source?
Well, yeah, the only way to know for sure to tie it in with the source is to have something similar on the source end that records, I'm sending message ID such and such. So you have the sending side recording which message it sends and when. You have the consuming side recording which message it processes and when. And mm-hmm. there should be a one-to-one match for each message.
So you're saying to debug this kind of situation, the source should tag some kind of a number, and that's the number I would go and print on my EJB? Okay.
Right. Every message has a message ID field.
Okay.
And it's exposed to the developer. You can put any value you want there, but if you don't put anything, a default value is set there.
Okay,
and that's what I use.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Once again, you may press *1 on your touch-tone phone to ask a question. One moment, please. Currently, no questions have formed.
Okay, thank you, Marcia. We do have a few questions in the group chat, and I'll start with the first one. A chart with all possible states of messages and a quick explanation of the state would be helpful.
In the addendum that's included with this presentation is a list of every possible message state and an explanation for what each one of those means.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that addendum is at the same place that you'll find today's presentation.
Right, and that addendum includes a lot of extra information throughout the presentation, a lot of extra slides, and the list that was just mentioned and so on.
Okay. And then the next question is how to stop and start MDB manually?
It's quite easy. You go into the WAS admin console, and then under applications, you pick WebSphere application, server applications, or enterprise applications. You find your MDB in the list of applications, and you select it by putting a little check in the box next to it. And then there's a button at the top to stop or start the application. You can do either one.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
The next question that came out of the chat, someone is looking for the steps to create source and destination queues.
Well, source and destination is merely a matter of how they're used, but the way to create a destination is very simple. It's in the info center if you're not sure how to do it. It's got step-by-step instructions in there. The one thing you need to be aware of is when you create a destination or when you create a queue, you must also create a matching destination. Because in the queue configuration, it's going to ask you for the name of a destination to point to. And I usually name them the same thing to keep it simple. But all you have to do is go into your messaging engine configuration and add a destination. And then on the JMS side of it, you go and create a new queue object, and then you point the queue object to the destination, and that's it.
Okay. The next question, what else needs to be changed if max concurrent endpoint is increased?
Nothing. I mean, okay. If all you're looking for is improved performance, that's the only thing I would change.
Okay. And then someone is stating that the actual Java Core example and description is not in the addendum, and they're asking if you can add that.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I'll take care of that today.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I get it, I'll be posting it to the web.
Okay.
And then the last question that I've seen so far is, and this has come up before already, where can we find the script to print out the queue depth of all the queues on the sidebus?
Yeah, for that, to get a hold of that script, just open a PMR and request it, and we'll send it right out to you.
Okay. I've got a question. Somebody's asking for the URL again for the addendum. I'm going to post that, but I'm not really seeing any other questions.
I do have a couple more questions on the phones.
Okay, great.
Suresh Kumar. Mr. Kumar, your line is open.
Hey, thank you. This is Suresh again. So I'm coming from WAS 6.1. So the one you mentioned about the maximum concurrent MDB invocations per endpoint, is that same as the maximum concurrency that I could see in the custom properties of the J2C activation spec?
Probably. But there are two different activation specs that you're talking about. There's the normal one that's under JMS, and then there's the J2C.
Mm-hmm.
And the J2C activation spec is usually used for a non-SIB resource adapter. And, frankly, it's very rarely used. So I don't know if that's exactly the same, but it probably is.
Okay, because, I mean, I'm coming from a WPS background, so basically whenever a mediation is deployed, so there are a lot of activation specs that created under the J2C activation spec. So if we want to tune the maximum concurrency, right, there is no MDB here because it's all based on the activation spec. So in this case, so I was looking if this is the parameter that we should be tuning.
That's a good question. I would go ahead and open a PMR, and we'll investigate that. I think they're the same, but let's be sure.
Okay. On the same line, so there's one more parameter called max batch size. Could you shed some light on that? I mean, how would that improve the performance?
It can improve performance. I've only seen one or two customers actually change that value. So it's not something that's changed very often. But basically what that does is that the default value, I think, is 1. But what it does is it changes the number of messages consumed within the scope of that single transaction. So in other words, instead of 1 message per transaction, you could have, say, 5 or 10. Now, whether or not that actually improves performance, it may or may not. There are other variables involved with performance, such as the MDB behavior itself. So there's no way to look at that and say that will definitely improve performance if you increase it. And like I said, very few people actually change that value, so I'm not sure that it would help. But to answer your question, it changes the number of messages within the scope of a single transaction.
Okay, and would that also have, I mean, if changing from default values, would that also have any impact on the heap as well?
It might actually reduce heap usage because you're using fewer transactions per message. But that's not something I've investigated. And I think it would have very little effect generally on the heap. The real heap effect you got to watch out for is when you change the concurrency.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Our next question is from Chakri, your line is open.
Thanks. One fun question is, we are currently using the messaging engine, which is a persistent database on the background. We observed that it's right now, it's a singleton object. It's running only, it is having a policy of 1 of n servers. Even though messaging engine is configured for the cluster, at the cluster level, only 1 will be active at any point of time. With this, is there any plans for IBM to make it work on all the multiple legs at the same time?
You mean the same messaging engine running on multiple servers within the same cluster simultaneously?
Correct.
That's not possible. And the reason it's not possible is because when the messaging engine is created, in your case, you're using a data store, but the same rule would apply if you were using a file store.
Okay.
When the messaging engine is created, it gets its own message store. And when it starts, it has to put a lock on that message store.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a lock on the message store, if another instance of the same messaging engine was started, the first thing it would do would be try to acquire that lock. Well, it would fail because there's already a lock.
Okay.
So it's not possible to do that.
So there are no plans to... Okay, I thought there's IBM is working on to open it up. Okay. The reason is that the rest of the three JVMs are sitting idle, kind of. Of course, it's...
Well, you can manually add messaging engines to increase your messaging capacity if that's what you wanted to do, but each one of those would need its own unique data store.
Unique, right. But the other thing is we have four different buses and four different messaging engines. So if I start the system up, unfortunately, sometimes all the four messaging engines is running on a particular JVM in that cluster instead of spreading over to the four different legs. Is there any way I can give the prioritization for each messaging engine? Okay, for messaging engine, go into the server one on this cluster, and messaging engine take the. Is there any way I can give a precedence for each messaging engine so that the load will be spread across instead of one JVM
yes.
too much?
Yes, there is. You can use what is called core group policies.
Okay.
And you can use core group policies to assign a messaging engine to a particular server.
To a particular... I don't want to go with the server, but in a cluster, I want to give the precedence. So if I just assign to a particular server, if that broke, it can fall back on the second server.
Well, this automatically... There's failover is built automatically. High availability is there automatically.
Okay.
So if the messaging engine fails on one server, it will automatically fail over to another server in the same cluster.
Okay.
But if you wanted to make sure that messaging engines ran on a particular server, mm-hmm. you can assign a different server to each messaging engine if you wanted to.
Okay. Got you. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
There is another question on the phones right now. Noah Osborne, your line is open.
Yes. When is it appropriate to tune the retry interval on our activation specification?
That's a good question, Noah. The default value is 5 times, and then there's intervals, for how long between each attempt. I think that would depend very much on the MDB behavior. For instance, on average, how long is on message waiting to return? Is it a very long time, or maybe 5 or 10 seconds? To me, that would be the guiding factor in determining how I would tune that. But on the other hand, if on message is taking that long, then that probably needs to be looked at by itself. Normally, though, it's not very often that we retune the retry intervals. The assumption is that if you try 5 times within, say, 10 seconds or 20 seconds, and it still fails, that there's something else wrong. And retuning it might allow messages ultimately to be delivered, although slowly, but it doesn't really address the root problem. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And is there a document that that kind of outlines all the different parameters that you've mentioned here on this call, when it's appropriate to move the max concurrent versus, changing the retry interval and some of the other parameters that are within here?
Yeah, they're all mentioned in the Info Center. However, it's a different question about whether or not there's advice about when to change it or what happens if you change it. That generally is found in material like the material we presented today. But if you want more information on that stuff, open up a PMR and we'll dig up some stuff for you.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
And once again, to ask a question, it's *1 on the touch-tone phone. And one moment, please. So far, no questions have formed on the audio portion.
Thank you, Marcia. I don't see any more questions in the group chat. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Paul and Ty, for presenting today.
Thank you.